Are we listening? God does speak in unique ways. Now I want you to hear another call of God to us today. Therefore, since we have these promises, dear friends, let us purify ourselves from everything that contaminates body and spirit, perfecting holiness out of reverence for God. Let me make a little parenthetical statement. Our rear projection is being cantankerous today. And so if I seem to get out of sync with where my slides are, just blame the projector, and we'll get that thing rearranged somewhere along the way, okay? But I also know for some reason the clock back there stopped at 9:30. I figured that. Well, back to where we were at. Since we have these promises, this is God speaking to us. Promises? Well, if you just bump ahead of that a little bit, the real paragraph of that instruction, it comes at the tail end of chapter 6. And it goes this way. We are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will live with them and walk among them. I will be their God. They will be my people. I will be a father to you, and you will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Can you imagine that promise? God walking with us. In the first letter to the Corinthians, chapter 6, he talks about each one of us individually as a temple of the Holy Spirit. When we accepted Christ as our Savior and were born again, he gave the Holy Spirit to live within us. And so you are a temple of the Holy Spirit. And now in this sixth chapter of second letter to the Corinthians, he says, we collectively are a temple of the living God. And that theme gets picked up in other passages in the New Testament. We, can you imagine? How would you do different if you came in and just sitting behind Bob and in front of Dave was this guy that looked, well, his name was Jesus of Nazareth. How would you do different? Well, let me give you some good news. He's here by the Holy Spirit in our midst. Wish you dressed a little different. Think about maybe sitting up a little straighter. These are the promises. And it's out of this promises that we have this instruction. That one's not wanting to work either. Back up one. There we go. Let us purify ourselves from everything that contaminates body and spirit, perfecting holiness out of reverence for God. Now, this fits within the theme that I've been doing actually since early part of September. It's the theme that says God is restoring us to his design for us as humans in his creation. Actually, I started this almost a little over a year ago as I went through almost a verse-by-verse preaching of the letter to the Colossians, becoming all God designed us to be, God working in us. This transforming work of God in our lives is called sanctification. It's God's will for us. Jesus prayed for God to sanctify us. Jesus provided that sanctification for us. And we've been looking at that. But now I've been looking at six requirements on our part. Faith in God through Jesus Christ. Baptism into Christ. New birth. Receiving Jesus as your Savior. Receiving Jesus into your heart. Turning to follow Him as Lord. Different terms. Being baptized into Christ. Last week I started on the next, with those first two are their point in time choices, transformations. But then there's the ongoing work of God in which we are called to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus. The fourth one we're going to spend on today is cleanse yourself of everything that contaminates body and spirit. Let's look at that one. Actually, just back up. We spent a lot of time with that last week. That's not a suggestion. It's not an invitation. It's an instruction, friends. Grow. What are you doing to grow? Jesus says, follow me and I will make you. What is Jesus making you to be? What's he doing in your life? But I really want to spend time with this fourth one today. Purify yourselves. Purify yourselves. From everything that contaminates body, spirit, perfecting holiness out of reverence for God. That's a big responsibility. Now, this one's going to get sort of touchy and close, so just hold steady, okay? Just put on your poker face. Nobody will know when it's feeling ouchy. Okay, I'll just warn you of that. You see, as we move in our relationship with God, as we proceed and begin to grow, old habits, destructive thought patterns, emotional wounds, disappointments, erroneous teaching or understanding of teachings, failures, and the shadow side of our strengths become soft spots that make us vulnerable to temptation, to sin. They can sabotage us. They can. The Apostle Paul in his letter to the Galatians talked about works of the flesh. Now oftentimes we identify these with what sin nature. And I think that creates some confusion as we look at these. And I'm becoming dissatisfied with just a straight out identification with these works of the flesh, with sin nature, because it creates all kinds of confusion. We see our regular lives and there's some things there we just keep getting bogged down with. But then there's scripture that talks about cleansing, and either God can't or we misunderstand, or there's something different that's going on in our lives that's going on. And the wording is works of the flesh. And we see them: sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, you know, jealousy, outbursts of rage, etc., drunkenness, orgy. Those first few and those last two, yeah, those are pretty obvious, aren't they? Works of the flesh. Sin. But as I worked at these, there's some others I want us to spend a little more time with. Who of us aren't susceptible to those eight behaviors? You see, it's easiest to focus on sexual immorality, drunkenness. We are so susceptible. Hatred. Discord, jealousy? Outbursts of rage? And we get caught up, and so then we sort of rationalize, well, I'm just human. But there's these promises of cleansing, and well, if God forgives me, there. But in this instruction today, we're called purify yourselves. Those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. Would you like me to just go back and talk about sexual immorality? Reflecting on this, I recalled a sermon by the Reverend John Wesley, 18th century evangelist, writer, organized a movement called Methodism that became what we now know as the Methodist Church. 18th century, a theological mentor for many of us. Listen to just a few lines of this. We might not have liked him as our preacher. You may not have voted for him. And do we not feel other tempers, which are as contrary to the love of our neighbor as these are to the love of God? The love of our neighbor thinketh no evil. Do we find anything of the kind? Do we never find any jealousies, any evil surmisings, suspicion, any groundless or unreasonable suspicions? He that is clear in these respects, let him cast the first stone at his neighbor. Who does not sometimes feel other tempers or inward motions, which he knows really are contrary to brotherly love? If nothing of malice, hatred, or bitterness, is there no touch of envy, particularly toward those who enjoy some real or supposed good which we desire but cannot attain? Do we never find any degree of resentment when we are injured or insulted, especially by those whom we particularly loved and whom we most labored to help or assist? Does injustice or ingratitude never excite in us any desire for revenge? Any desire of returning evil for evil instead of overcoming evil with good? This also shows how much is still in our hearts, which is contrary to the love of our neighbor. Covetousness in every kind and degree is certainly as contrary to this as to the love of God. Whether the love of money, which is too frequently the root of all evil, or a desire of having more and increasing in substance, and how few, even of the real children of God, are entirely free from both. I believe never was anyone born of God that lived any considerable time after their new birth who did not feel more or less of this covetousness many times. Especially in the latter sense, we may therefore set down as an undoubted truth that covetousness, together with pride and self-will and anger, remain in the hearts even of them that are justified. Thus it is that in the children of God, repentance and faith exactly answer each other. By repentance, we feel the sin remaining in our hearts and cleaving to our words and actions. By faith we receive the power of God in Christ, purifying our hearts, cleansing our hands. Wow. Repentance says, without him I can do nothing. Faith says, I can do all things through Christ strengthening me. Through him, I can not only overcome, but expel all the enemies of my soul. Through him, I can love the Lord my God with all my heart, mind, soul, and strength, yea, and walk in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of my life. Wow. Just a summary of what Mr. Wesley spoke. We are susceptible to these. And it's in the light of this that we get this instruction, therefore purify yourself. From everything that contaminates our spirits, minds, bodies, compromises our representation of Jesus, our Lord. In another letter, the apostle really puts the focus here. And we sometimes talk about God cleanse me, God change me, God do this. But in the middle of this God working in us, there's responsibility on our part. The Apostle Paul in another letter writes, you get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. We've got to take responsibility for that. Then he goes on and gives an instruction. Instead, be kind to each other, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as God through Christ has forgiven you. Purification of self requires confession, repentance, discipline. Through our faith in Christ, by the power of the Holy Spirit, support of brothers and sisters in Christ. See, life around us with its conflicts hooks all kinds of stuff inside of us. We are called to diligently and intentionally redirect our thinking. In another letter yet, the apostle says, we take every thought captive to make it obedient to Christ. That's our responsibility. Major obstacles to growth are pride, denial, our job. Purify yourselves. It's a responsibility. There is that work of God, but he leads us. And there's an interesting phrase at the end of this instruction. Here it is. Perfecting holiness. Out of reverence for God. This word, perfecting, will you just handle a little bit of English grammar for a moment? It's a participle. It's a participial phrase. Anybody remember what a participle was from your middle school or junior high English grammar class? A participle always supports the main verb of a sentence. So the main verb in this one is purify yourself, perfecting, bringing to completion what God is doing in our lives. What's interesting is it's in a voice and an action of constant work, constant being on top. It's a present tense verb. Day in, day out. Confessing. Repenting is turning toward Christ. It's more than just feeling sorry. We've done it and we sit around and oh, mea culpa, I've done it again. I'm such a bad, dumb. No. Confessing our sin. Turning toward Jesus. And discipline. Perfecting holiness. Bringing holiness to completion. The word translated perfection is a word that means whole or complete. Sometimes it's translated mature. Keep working toward wholeness and completeness. We are growing in Christ. You see, discipline does not earn sanctification. It participates in the sanctifying work of God in our lives. Sanctification is not a certificate that we wave in the air, as I said last week, and say, look, I have been. It's a work of God, and He calls us to work in harmony with Himself. It's a shift from what I hear so often from Christians. I'm just struggling. And I feel that. We feel like we're struggling. And you know, sometimes we really make Christianity look pretty bad. Always struggling, always struggling, always struggling. It's a call to walk in step with God, knowing the Holy Spirit dwells within us. Yes, we're going to err. Yes, we're going to make mistakes. As John Wesley talks about these sins that cleave to our words, we're going to get caught up. It's why the apostle in one place says, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Even that renewing of your mind, it's in a verb tense, which is ongoing day after day after day, bringing ourselves back to God. That's why every morning and every night, we need time in prayer. And it's more than just saying, oh, Lord, help them. It's genuinely honoring the Lord as God, confessing, turning to follow Him, declaring our dependence on the Lord as God. Shift from struggling with sin, the flesh, and change to leaning into the transforming work of God in a spirit of joy. As I said at the beginning of the service in that passage, rejoice in the Lord, always. And again I say, rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord. I believe John's term sort of sums it up for me. God is light. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Wow. God wants to restore us. He wants to make us what He designed us to be in the first place. The psalmist summed it up in a unique way. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing to you. As I was thinking about this, I began thinking about driving. Y'all got your driver's license? That says you have the right to drive on roads, doesn't it? Does that mean you're a perfect driver? Now, when I talk to you, I talk about all those other idiots that cut in front of me. Come on, let's be honest. How many times have we been the idiot? I know, none of you. That's just me, okay? Whoops. Brothers and sisters, children of God, the Holy Spirit leads, dwells within us, and He is leading us in growth. We call this progressive sanctification. God is shaping and transforming us. And there's going to be times those old habit patterns and those old things surface. We don't sit around and say, oh, I'm a dumb human. No, we say, Lord, we messed up. And then we take steps. Confession. Repentance. Repentance, remember, is more than saying I'm bad. What does repentance do? Repentance turns to Jesus. Repentance is more than saying I'm sorry. Repentance turns to Jesus in obedience as Lord, following Jesus. Confession, repentance. hate that other word. You know that D word. Discipline. Don't you like that? Oh, by the way, did you know the scripture says God disciplines those whom he loves? He trains. He transforms. Danita, let's pray that 19th Psalm prayer that just says, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing to you, Lord. Can we do that?